This past Friday, just wanted to say something before I start reading. This past Friday, I said goodbye to a dear friend of mine and a dear friend to all of us, C.J. Coleman, who was such an inspiration in so many ways, more ways than I can possibly express. And the thing that occurred to me when I was at the funeral home was, you know, how much I think at times we take for granted what a privilege it is to read our poems and to be up here and to share our art and our heart with all of you. So I'm going to dedicate this reading to her memory. So I started writing a while back as being 46 and realizing that I'm getting older, that I started going to the doctors a lot more than I used to. So I have a couple doctor poems, I like to call them. This first one is called A Boy There Drowning. When the urologist lays me on my back, I don't tell him I feel like I'm falling, that I'm somewhere else watching this, stepping off the exam table to stare at a man lying there, paper gown breathing and drifting from his body. I say nothing as the ghost of his hands fumble balls and cock slumped loose on my chest. And when he sticks the barbed rod inside me, I let the flood of water from the painting on the wall enter me like a story. The scene's all ocean and rage, but after my fifth time here, I'm imagining a boy there drowning, a boy in a movie taking forever for the air to leave him. He tells me this is all about probability, that a body is reduced to a number of possibilities, the markers for cancer swirling around me like the math I never wanted to learn. I want to tell him I'm not ready, that my head is a forest full of static, but instead stare at the sleeve of his lab coat, think of white sandy beaches, the tablecloth from the restaurant from last week. Order anything you said, because when was the last time we did this? I want to say I'll wait for next week like a phone call or a tornado, but the irises on the secretary's desk are breaking me in ways I can't explain. You can get dressed now, he says, but what I want is to ask him what that painting means to him. Tell him I wish I had more time with my father before he died. Sitting here, half-dressed in the discharge room, I'm the boy again, being pulled from the water, a fisherman happening upon him just in time. If there was a father or a mother in the painting, I never saw them. Just a wall and a boy who was never there. Quiet brushstrokes pulling him under, keeping him quiet, keeping him safe. Thanks. This is kind of a crazy title, and where it comes from, these titles, but the Summer Olympics and the Allegheny Orthopedic Associates. It's 9 a.m., and I'm waiting to speak to a man who can see right through me, to walls illuminated with the ghost of my bones, the knowing look of the doctor talking to me about pain and range of motion, expectations. But my mind keeps drifting to the Olympics and 5 out of 5 for backflips, the double midair twist, divers folding their switchblade bodies, knifing into water. Is it sharp or a dull aching throb, he wants to know. But all I can think of is free fall and waiting air. I was on a ladder when it happened, then I wasn't, crashing into a sea of frozen mud, clusters of pipe fittings breaking my back into unanswered questions, spines shooting stars into a darkness. You're just lucky to be walking again, they told me. Lucky, I thought, not to be my grandfather, who was never talked to about quality of life. At 6, I watched years of factory work curl up his back like a fist. Would sit in bed and eat cookies, watch cartoons together as he got stoned on Vicodins and Budweiser. And now I'm talking options with the Allegheny Orthopedic Associates. I zone out to the flat screen, to acrobats swinging windmill legs over bars. They're awarded medals, and I get pills, lists of therapists to try. My grandfather, a gold-plated watch for 30 years of service, the one they didn't bury with him, the one that still holds every minute, keeps ticking with an exactness I can't fathom. So, thanks. I read a lot of interviews from poets that I admire, and one of the questions I ask a lot of the poets is, what would they like to read? And I have an odd answer, although I've never been asked, but something that I always enjoyed reading was personal ads. So I thought, what would be interesting if a poet tried to write a personal ad? So this is called Personal. SWM, ISO, SWF, for GF, LTR, or BFF. Must be 21 again and standing in your mother's kitchen, far enough from your grandmother's oxygen tank to swear it was ocean. Window must have a view of weeds and the neighbor's screeching cats. Pics are optional, though must be able to point out constellations lying in open fields in the dark. Bonus points if you've ever been torn apart by a Mahler symphony the day you held a mirror under your grandmother's breath for answers. If it's yes to sunsets that look like they're on fire, to the psychic who touched you with her electric hands, called you one of us, yes to those broken lifeguard chairs on the beach reading The Shack at midnight under moonlight, if you were here, anywhere, when the sound of the tide was like 1,000 faucets bursting at your feet, that was me. I was out there calling and calling your name. Thank you. So those of you that know me know that for years I worked as a plumber in construction, and I continue to do somewhat, and I started writing a lot of poems on the subject. So these next three actually go into some of that. This is called Anything. Don't think it means anything when the mountains move. When the steel hill takes you to the fifth floor and another escalator again. Because your last name begins with W, as in worker, an apprentice, as in 100 other gened kids waiting at the job fair for construction. On the job application, don't mention drowning in a sea of mud, the cracked ladder, the broken back, the 15 years of torches burning your acetylene hands, scars hidden in a quick guy shake. Don't mention the imaginary ghosts that float past your eyes, shards of metal lodged in the burning suns of your retinas. Say yes to medical gas and the hazards of asbestos. Say the fumes never bothered you. You'll do anything. This is only the sudden death of the next thing and a paycheck that says you survived this. When they ask about experience, tell them you can do anything. They'll know what this means. This next one's called If a Tree Falls, and this is for my friend John Stupp. If a tree falls, does anyone care if it makes it into this poem? A poem bone deep and raw, broken bark hanging onto the edge of a season like 3 years of sobriety. If a tree falls by Billy Kay's bar, will anyone get up off their bar stools to notice the excavator devouring earth outside, gutting grooves in the mud for plumbing? I'm here, laying white pipe down like bones in a grave. All of us addicts and has-beens made it here before the rain for the burial of elm and maple, thicket of sweet William and sage because an IKEA needs floor drains. Because Conan, the ex-con, is spotting me, following behind with a shovel to watch the operator fling dirt in my face, call me pig. I let him dig me out, scratch a line in the strata, ask no questions, but watch how close the bucket gets to my head, the burning length of the day on my face. We step out, share a common moment and bottled water like muddy equals, the sounds of falling trees all around us. This is called Real Men, and this is from my upcoming collection, which is coming out in October. So I'll be making announcements for that. Woo! Real men say it loud in a huff, shoot off their mouths and heavy guns, drag bloody deer, leave their hearts on the ground. Real men roll their sleeves up, a handful of chips, edge of a mouth dripping with sauce, give you shit. Real men screw toolboxes down to floors, put rocks in your hubcaps, lock you in porta-johns, tip them over. Real men call you sissy and bitch, quick as a fist bump, a punch in the gut at break. Say, I thought you've done this before. Water break, gas leak, jackhammer between your balls in some grandma's basement. Say this breaking is necessary, flaking concrete, ear and shoulder burning. So when the ground opens, grab a shovel, get down on your knees, keep moving as if this is your religion, the hands, the cuts, the blood, the men standing above you in hard hats, laughing. Every man I've ever met resembles the father I couldn't know. The father heavy as the shadows that fall over me. 6 feet of leaning earth, this ditch line crumbling in the shape of a body, your body learning. Thanks. Just a couple of poems left. I wish this poem wasn't relevant, but I work in a school which is actually closing at the end of this year, unfortunately. But with everything going on with the shootings, it's really been jarring to say the least. This is called "The Day Tom Petty Died." The day Tom Petty died had nothing to do with music, but Mark swinging his mop in a free USA tee. He wants to tell me about guns, about rights. He talks about his load, about magazines. He wants to make America great again. But at lunch, 58 people are already dead in Vegas. Gun laws are just another excuse to take away our rights, he says, and some guys are actually just collectors. I remember the .22 in my dad's dresser for protection, the smell of its fire, hands on the cold steel. Forget you ever saw it, he said. And now, after commercial, CNN is asking Vegas how it feels, but special reports interrupt with guitar licks in a countryfied drawl, petty on the cusp of memory, connected to a machine for its air. And in 2 hours, Facebook will be stopping to remember the rock god, blonde and skeletal, 30 seconds of guitar fire crashing into news bites of the tolls still climbing. Tomorrow, at the school where I work, I'll install slide locks to classroom doors, while kindergartners tape origami snowflakes, crayoned Martin Luther Kings to the windows so the shooters can't see them. Mark turns around to tell me I'm doing it wrong, tells me again how easy it is to remove the pin, make a semi an auto. We all need to protect ourselves, he says. Don't I get it? Don't I know there's a war coming? On the way home, I turn off the talk of America, to the classics, to Petty running down a dream, those ripped t-shirt memories of screaming my head off to rock shows, Dylan and Petty, the dead. But where's the music for this panic and fire? For the screams lost inside another Columbine, another Kentucky? At the bookstore tonight, we'll take our seats in the quiet, lower our heads as if it's the first church we've been to in years. The city's neon bleeding through glass doors like a rose window. There's a burden all of us are charged with, and it's written on the faces of the first reader as she hesitates, straightens her papers. And it's raining like hell outside, but there are words to be said here, and all of us are leaning in for it, waiting to begin. Thanks. This is my last poem of the evening, and thank you all for listening and coming. And this is for a friend of mine and marvelous poet, Jason Irwin. It's called "Writing Political Poems at the Squirrel Hill Cafe." After a few beers, we talk honestly, like how we're not good at writing them. I nod my head instead of saying, I remember where I was when it happened, like the election or 9/11. I was on a forklift building bingo orders when the first plane hit. And tomorrow, 1 month after Trump, a physical therapist will yell at me for not trying harder. I'll lay the $20 copay down for the right to wait for him, to watch the intern fix a broken skeleton on a carpeted floor. I'll do 3 sets of 10 on my bad hip, listen to him talk about the mess of healthcare and how his parents voted for Trump, how he doesn't speak to them anymore. Drinking here with you at the Squirrel Hill Cafe, it never occurred to me that nothing would ever be the same again. Just that this was something we needed to do. to sit on these crooked bar stools, let the liquor speak for us. Warm our aching bones. It seems like it should snow on a night like this. But maybe the cold's here just to remind us that we're broken too. That sometimes we don't have all the answers. That sometimes all you can do is sit down in a dingy bar and clank glasses together. Watch the people outside walk away with their bags with their heads down. That winter sky turning from gray to blue, getting darker. Thanks.